We are up to Perikei Mishnah Hey of Maseches Irvin. Says the Mishnah, continuing in the question of how exactly the measurement takes place, we want to know, we begin at Mishnah Hey by discussing who is it exactly that we allow to do the measurement of the tchum for the city. Says the Mishnah, in modedin elemina mumcha. When we say that someone has to measure the tchum of the city, it's not any Jewish mo that can measure the tchum of the city. Rather, the measurement of the tchum will only be accepted as reliable only from someone who's a mumcha, someone who's an expert in what? Someone who's an expert in measuring the land, right? Just like you wouldn't have a farmer come in and run your business, so too you wouldn't have a someone who doesn't know how to measure your land. We need to have a mumcha measure the land, and only if it's measured by the mumcha will we be able to trust the actual measurement of the tuchum. Okay, says the Mishnah further though, but let's say you have a contradiction of what the measurement actually is. Riba l'makom acharu mi'ez l'makom achar. Let's say you have one guy who's measuring, one mumche who's measuring. He measured the tchum farther at one point and closer at another point. So imagine, let's say he was on the eastern side of the city, and from the northeastern corner he measured a shorter distance. Again, he's obviously always measuring 2,000, but sometimes human error, you know, you could have a difference. So from the northeastern corner that he measured from, it was the 2,000 amos seemed a little bit shorter than the 2,000 amos on the northwest on the southeastern corner. And so in such a situation, Reba l'makom achad umit l'makom achar. So if you measure the tchum farther at one point and closer at another point, shomen l'makom shariba. So what do? We accept the measurement of where it came out further. So in other words, obviously, again, he's only measuring 2,000 amos, but a human error will allow him, in theory, to come out with a situation where one side is farther than the other side. So we trust the farther side, and we assume that from that point, we make a square, or rather, we draw a line from that point straight in parallel with that point. And then that becomes the distance. Even though he measured the other side a shorter distance, we just forget about that and we just count the farther distance. We'll explain in a minute why we are allowed to trust such a leniency. But let's say the different situation, not one person who measured two different things, but rather you had two different people, two mumchim, one who measured a farther distance of the tchum and one who measured a closer distance of the tchum. Again, shomen lamerube. We accept the farther measurement as the accurate one, and we draw a line from there. Afilu eved afilu shivcha v'neamon and lomar ad kan tchum shabbos. And not only that, we have a further leniency. Only a mumcha can measure, but let's say you have an eved kanani or a shivcha kanani, you have a Canaanite slave or a Canaanite maidservant. So usually they're not accepted as witnesses at all, but they are believed to say that the Shabbos tchum reaches until this point. Meaning to say that they are not allowed to measure, obviously. But what we believe them is that when we are walking outside of the city on Shabbos, if we get to a certain point and they say, "Oh, the Shabbos tchum reaches until here," we can therefore say that we believe them in such a situation. And we don't have, and it seems like Lakula and Lachumah, right? If they say it ends over here, or if they say it ends in 1,000 more feet, whatever it is, we're allowed to believe them regardless over here. And so, why do we have all these leniencies that, one, we trust the farther distance and not the shorter distance, and two, that we're even allowed to, I guess, listen to the Eved Kanani give his testimony as to where the tchum has traditionally always ended for this specific city? Says the Mishnah, Shelo amru chachamim es hadavar lahachmir, because the chachamim were the ones to enact tchum in the first place, it would seem, and since they were the ones to enact the concept of tchum, they had a rule that whenever there was a suffix, whenever there was any sort of a doubt, that we're not machmir on this ela lahakil. Rather, how do we act whenever there's a suffix tchum? We're always going to be lenient. So whenever there's any sort of doubt of what's going on, we can always rely on the lenient and rely on the most lenient perspective in the situation. So again, so that would in theory mean two things: that one, we can always rely on the further distance, and two, that we could rely on testimony from people who we don't normally rely on testimony for regarding where the tchum actually ends. Mishnah Vav now seems to take a quick break in this discussion. No longer are we discussing Eruv Tchumen in this situation. We're going to use the word Eruv, but it would seem that we're actually talking about a Shitufei Mavos. A Shitufei Mavos, what it essentially is, as we've discussed in the past, is that if you have a bunch of chatzers that are all leading into alleyways or all leading into like the street or something like that, so they can all in theory get together and make a Shituf Mavos, which will essentially say it's permitted to carry in the street. So says the Mishnah as follows. Ir Shel Yachid, V'Na'aseis Shel Rabim. If you have a city that used to be owned by one person and now became the property of many people, so where do we have such a situation of this? How does this ever happen? It sounds like a crazy concept. Who's going to own a city? Well, one example that we might pull out is that of one of the five boroughs of New York City, right? The Bronx. Everyone wants to know, how come we don't call it the Manhattan or the Staten Island, but we call the Bronx the Bronx? Well, I don't know if this is true or not, but what I've always heard, and even if it's not true, it still proves the point that we're trying to make, is that the entire borough of the Bronx used to be owned by one family. Who's that? The Bronx family. And so there evidently is a situation where one family could basically own an entire city. Okay, I guess the Bronx isn't really a city, but whatever. It still proves the point that evidently there were families that were wealthy enough to own an entire city. And it would seem like what we're talking about over here specifically is a city that's owned by one person that he normally rents houses out to other people in the city. So again, so Ir Shel Yachid V'Na'aseis Shel Rabim. If you have a city that used to be owned by one person and he used to rent out all the homes or most of the homes in the city, but now it became the property of many people, he sold it off to some people. Ma'arvin Eskula. We are allowed to make an Erev. Again, even though we use the word Erev, we're not talking about an Erev, we're talking about a sheet of Mavaos. So again, Ma'arvin Eskula, so we can make one Erev for the whole city. How can you make an Erev for the whole city? So what's the concern on either end? So on the one hand, we say, okay, great, you should be able to make an Erev, so now everyone can carry. On the other hand, you might say that, how can I have the right to make an Erev for the whole city? Because then people will just forget that there's ever anything called the Rishus HaRabim, and people will just always carry in the Rishus HaRabim whenever they want, because they'll never know such a concept of not being able to carry. It's a little bit similar to the world that we live in nowadays, in which we take Erevin as a standard, and when we're walking around in our communities and we find that we can basically always carry whatever we want on Shabbos. So that does almost create a reality that when we're left in Rishus HaRabim, we're left in a situation where there's no ear of it, we sometimes forget that we're not allowed to carry in Rishus HaRabim, but that there is a malacha called Hotzah. So we do understand the sentiment. So again, sorry, let's start from the top one more time. Mishnah Vav. Ir Shel Yachid V'Na'aseis Shel Rabim. If we have a city that is owned by one person, then now became the property of many people. Ma'arvin Eskula. We can make one ear for the whole city. And again, even though it's now owned by many people, so you would think maybe we will be concerned that these many people will be confused and when think that you can carry even in a public domain. We say no, that we're going to be lenient over here, and we could assume that since it was once owned by one person and now it's owned by many people, since it has like the status almost of like one set area, people are never going to confuse this area with another city. But let's say v'shal rabim v'naseh shal yachid. On the other hand, if you have a city that used to be owned by many people and it's now become the property of one person, and this guy's renting it out to a bunch of people, so in that situation, ein ma Arvin as kula ela im kain asa chutzola. You can only make one ear for the entire city unless we cannot make an ear for the entire city unless we make one area that's not part of the Erev, like an exclusion from the Erev. Ki'ir chadasha should be Yehuda she'esh ba chamishim ziyurim. And the size needs to be at least like that of the town of Chadasha in Yehuda, which had like 50 residents. So it was a small town, so we need to basically like cut out a small area like that from the Erev. Derei Rabbi Yehuda, that's what Rabbi Yehuda says. Rabbi Shimon says no. Shalosh chatziros shel shnei batim. All you need to do is exclude from the Erev an area of three courtyards with two houses in each of the courtyards. So in other words, if you have three small courtyards, each that have two houses in it, then you are good to go. Just take those out of the Erev and you'll be good to go. And again, the whole concern here is that we want to eliminate this illusion that there is no such thing as a prohibition of carrying an Rosh Hashanah, because that would basically make people forget about the prohibition. So as long as we can show that no, this area is going to be still off limits, not part of the Erev, and you can carry there willy nilly, so that will show you that there is such a thing as carrying an Rishus HaRabim, and will take away any confusion moving forward. But again, if we can have a situation where the city is unique enough that it was at one point always considered really a Rishus HaYachid, and therefore no one's going to make an inference from this city to anywhere else, then we could be more lenient and allow an Erev for the entire city. But again, one more time, it's all about the illusion. We don't want to create such an illusion that there is no such thing as a Rishus HaRabim anymore. Okay, so that brings us to the end of Mishnah Vav, and God willing, next time we'll continue with Mishnah Zion, but for now we'll stop right here.